Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, December the 11th, 2020. And this is the second part to the show. We were just cut off. Joe's off. We can't get him back on. But I was talking in the latter part, I'll finish, that the two hotels that are in Panama, one was owned by Daddy Bush, one was owned by Leonard Milman. Up on Trump.org, the estate, Alan Karsh, the brother-in-law, drug dealer, into Denver, money launderer, attorney for Milman, counterpart to Brownstein, he made the Trump organization a deal. Hey, we'll sell you this invaded hotel during the Panama invasion that belonged to Leonard Milman, and we'll give you 100% financing and 100% financing for construction with no calls, note. Trump said it's the best deal he ever made. But he didn't know those were the same people, Milman and Bush, who put him in bankruptcy in Atlantic City. Because when he reached out to get loans after he moves in, does his first hotel, and is super successful, he's taking all the money in Atlantic City. Nobody else is making money at their casinos. He's getting it all because he had first class jet. So he starts a loan, gets the loans for those other four buildings because he's booking so good. And they tried to bankrupt him. Now, what was interesting, because Henry Kissinger was a client of his, came into his restaurants and hotel, his building there in New York all the time. They used to patronize the place because he high-dollar class hotels. Well, he got to know Kissinger that way. And it was Kissinger that salvaged his ass. Okay? They wanted him out of Atlantic City. They basically threw him out of there. But Milman comes along, as I said, with the Panama Hotel and offers him that deal. But it was Global Crossings, Jeffrey, was the company that they broke. I mean, that was a lot of money. That was 1997. That was another one of their thief operations. But I wanted to pick back up on the Chinese thing for a minute. Now, Joe left off about the big run through Mexico and the Chinese construction companies and so forth. I was locked up as a political prisoner for exposing Silverado Savings, causing congressional investigation for the Denver airport, its fraud, and congressional investigation for the Keating Five, they dubbed it, which was the MDC 200 illegal political campaign money laundering by Larry Mizell, Leonard Milman, Norman Brownstein, and gang, to all these congressmen and senators, over 200 of them. But they dubbed it the Keating Five and set an example to say, oh, John McCain, we had a little hearing on you and you were such a bad boy, but nobody's going to go to jail. Now, the other one was HUD, and they robbed HUD for over 500,000 apartment units they had control under AIMCO out of Denver. And then after I blew the heat down on top of them, they started breaking that up, and I think they're down to 300,000 in each apartment being a unit. Now, that was all theft over 20, 40 years from the U.S. government, ever since 1969, using USDA, HUD, etc. All that can be clawed back. But here's a point. I'm in jail as a political prisoner for causing those scandals because they found out it was me that was pushing it behind the scenes, and they decided to shut me up. So they charged me. Only three people were ever charged with terroristic death threats. Terroristic death threats to my former father-in-law. I said, Bo, hey folks, up on the radio bar, scroll all the way down the end and listen to the conversations with Leonard Milman before they issued the warrant for my arrest. And you make a determination if there was any death threats. An honest federal judge, after one son died because of God Almighty, and he was relieved from my case because of prayer, and I that's a witness to God. Judge Richard Mates was appointed, and he screamed at the prosecutor, you wasted $750,000 trying an innocent man? This case is dismissed with prejudice. And he says, Mr. Webb, I suggest that you seek legal help and advice, counsel, to get compensated for what they have done to you. Now, that was the judge. Now, while I'm in political prisoner, I'm being shuffled from Houston to Denver. Supposedly 30 days from arrest to indictment, you have to appear before the grand jury. It was 40-some-odd days before I got up there. I got stuck in El Reno, Oklahoma, with all these Iran-Contra players who were all being arrested, like later thrown in Springfield, evaluated by the government where they testified there wasn't anything the matter with me. And I shouldn't have ever even been sent there because there was no proof of any wrongdoing. Now, I'm sitting down in El Reno with all these Iran-Contra players. They got some stooge immediately sent in there, you know, FBI type, that be a prisoner, and all on the same day that I arrive, and so on and so forth. And, well, they pointed him out, and that guy was out of there in about 3 minutes because someone recognized him. A little bit later, the guy that ran Evergreen Airlines, the CIA airline company, Evergreen Containers, those big shipping containers that you see all the time, all over America. They're usually in the back lot of some little construction company or a little car place or whatever. The containers are sitting back here. Now, here's what he sat there and told me. And his partner in crime sat and told me the same thing. That Daddy Bush filled the Evergreen containers full of robotoids. They're called robots, robotoids. DuPont made them. Daddy Bush Company. Way back, late 80s, into the 90s. They filled those Evergreen airline containers with robots. Technology that China was ahead of us on. Okay? Now, they're sitting across America. 100,000 of them, he said. And they can activate them by satellite. They got mu metal on them. MU metal. It's robotoid. It moves. But the only thing that can infiltrate a robot like this is an armor-piercing bullet. Has to be shot in the head because that's where they put the brain. Was in its head. You're not going to kill it any other way. And if they turn these things, if this guy, I forgot his name, but he was Evergreen Airlines owner, the Daddy Bush decided to take over the company and shut it down because he was facing these problems. He gave Ollie North a presidential pardon in 1992 before he left office, Christmas Eve, Casper Weinberger, and John Poindexter, all the criminals who set up FEMA camps for us, along with Bill Barr, the CIA counsel underneath Daddy Bush. I think I've said my share of the Chinese connections and a lot of things. But if you don't have armor-piercing bullets, I heard a 50 caliber to its head might get through the mu metal. That's what Otis Johnson, Super Spook, told me. And by the way, the CIA, the government, has robotoids. This is an example. We had demonstrations burning the streets, so on and so forth, down in St. Louis, Missouri. It was called Ferguson, Missouri. This was a few years ago. Everybody that was down there demonstrating, doing all the violence and everything else has been arrested, folks. Because they sent the robots in there. They look human. They crap. They screw. They do everything. They've upgraded them, according to what Otis said. They have external skeletons. We have internal. But they feel real. I mean, they'll kiss you and everything. Coming there with signs, black ones, holding up signs, demonstrating, walking up the street. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, slapping hands, shaking hands. Once the robot shook its hand, it got its fingerprints. That's the reason everybody in Ferguson is in jail. Go ahead, Paul, or Jeff.
Well, that's really powerful stuff, and I want to bring Joffrey back in. And I want to get to the point, do we have a fissure, a tear in the military-industrial intelligence complex in America? Is there a side that is led by Donald Trump that is actively fighting those Chinese robotoids, whatever we might call them? Are they embedded in underground bases or on bases in Canada and Mexico? And is our military engaged in bunker busting? So instead of using a bullet to the head, in fact, maybe you use bunker busters and you blow up these facilities that have these supposed soldiers in them. The intelligence that we're getting, I can't bet. I can only explain what I am hearing and reading. Joffrey, you and I are both familiar with the Michigan plane going down. We're also familiar with the noises in Maine, all of these loud bangs, and we've got people reporting they saw missiles launched. What can you tell us about what Stu has said, and now what's happened in the last week, given that we have all of this chaos, all of this diversionary stuff, How do we make sense of it?
Well, it's humanist, and, you know, do we have technology that's advanced? Well, we all have to agree. I think all of us do agree that it's advanced. And it's probably 20, 30, 40 years ahead of what we're seeing now. So you have to take yourself there and say, okay, wait a minute, is it possible to have somebody walking around that really looks pretty authentic? And then they're letting us see this AI that they're bringing on, and she asks questions and she thinks for herself. You know, we're getting the dumbed down version, more than likely. There's just no doubt about it. They're not going to give us what's really going on because that's too useful. So to speak to what Stu said, I totally agree. There's got to be things by now. Because look, you know, when he ran into that with what Stu was mentioning, that time frame advanced that time frame 20 years. So who knows what they're capable of? But going back to even what you just mentioned, we seem to be hearing about a silent war that we were mentioning earlier. What's really going on? And by design, we're getting little bits of information, but certainly we're seeing a small picture. So when you talk about infiltration, you know, this thing just doesn't happen. It's been set up. I mean, you get employment. You get Chinese people that move here, and yes, under the guise of construction worker, a
green energy.
Yeah, green energy.
That whole green energy is Chinese.
Yes. So you
very good point.
Yeah, you bring in these employees who are already military trained people, and then we hear about, well, what about the super soldiers they're working on? They've already been toying around apparently with their genetics. So these probably aren't going to be your average-looking plumber. Nothing against plumbers, but these guys are probably pretty fit-looking guys with very good skill. And so you bring in this contingency, and then you slowly unpackage it. And now all of a sudden it's go time whenever they get a signal. And I don't think we've probably seen that yet, because I think what we've seen that would be covert would be overt, and we'd be seeing stuff really fly. So they're keeping this thing just low enough below the surface that we're getting whispers of it. Now, how much of the whispers are true, we really can't verify. We can speculate, but it certainly seems a little bit hard to deny that there's flight activity. There's all kinds of things going on. Even where I'm living, seeing an AWAC go over all day yesterday or day before, all day. And transport planes, pretty much moving all day, even where I'm at. So we are seeing activity. Does it equate to a covert type situation? It very likely could. So these people probably have had this plan, the Chinese plan, in increments of 50 to 100 years. This should not be a surprise. Anyway.
Now, if I can add a couple things, because this does come from intelligence. Trump will win it. It will go to the Supreme Court. Sidney Powell will win. There will be a military tribunal for the overthrow of two presidential elections. Two of them. Remember, last election, they tried to overthrow him then. Now we have this election. And they've been able to prove that the software goes back to 2000, changing the elections. They used it in these other countries to overthrow elections in their countries. Now, the CIA is heavily involved with this. The Israeli Mossad is heavily involved, and Cogentco was used, the telephone company of the United States government. Now, who was punching the fucking buttons to do it? Who was changing those? Okay, that is all part of it, but everybody's missing one big other equation. It's called E-Systems of Dallas, Texas, who's been stealing the elections since the 1990s by changing the voting booth, voting electronic machines and all the other stuff, even changing the little box that they rip your deal off after you punch your card through and flip it over and do the stuff, and you go up there and you put it in. Or the last election is a big ballot, and you checkmarked it with a black magic marker or pen they gave you and voted that way in independence. Now, what happens during the day? Daddy Bush and his covert CIA Division Number 4, the hit teams, psychopaths, MK Ultra, everything operated out of E-Systems in Dallas, Texas. that controls the Westar series of satellites, which is a Raytheon subsidiary, E-Systems is. It's where Otis Johnson was dumped after him and William Casey tried to bust Bush back in the 80s to put him back in line. He got out of there and went to the NSA a little bit later, and it's all intertwined. But E-Systems is able to change with that satellite, that little box that counted all those votes, and nobody knows how many votes is for Donald Trump and how many is for Joe Biden. But oh, Donald Trump's winning by 80% in the state of Missouri. Whoops! Westar went into effect. Bam! Because they can read it. Bam! They changed it and flipped it and made it the opposite. This is also voter fraud. Jeb Bush controlled now. That was Iran-Contra, folks. E-Systems, by the way, is still importing drugs, narcotics, and everything from Mexico, Colombia, everything. And they're all involved. E-Systems, Dallas, Texas. They got a little facility out the Fort Worth Airport.
I think we've made a compelling case for the nexus between the New World Order, the Chinese, the European-American deep state, and is it possible that we do have someone or a faction of the military who is no longer going to answer to the Jesuit CIA?
We have
it also, my estimation, all the Chinese. I'm trying to.
We have it, Paul. Paul, we have. As I said, he repositioned the military. He got rid of the guy that wouldn't take his orders. So when Antifa and Black Lives Matter go ballistics after January the 20th, the military will hit those streets and arrest those people. Because the two underlayments directly underneath whoever he's going to put in on top is running the show right now. And both of them are Trump supporters and defenders. There will be change in the top ranks of the military as time proceeds. I know. Now, I also know that there will be the prosecution of those involved in this voter fraud. It's going to take a while. Trump will remain. I'm aware of that. Now, let's go into some toys that I'm also aware of and why I know these things. A U.S. scientist named Ed Slade became a friend of mine when I lived in Las Vegas. Here's the point. He worked at a top secret facility that was an alien facility, fallen angel, as he says. He was a Jew that didn't believe in Christ. But after he got knocked in the head with an energy weapon and nearly killed because he came public that five of his colleagues had all died within 6 months after retirement. They were all retired at the same time. He's up on the front of my website. A radio show with him. I punch it in my search box. It comes up. Now, Ed Slade worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada. That's about 60 to 80 miles down the road from Area 51. Now, Area 51 is where everybody thinks the aliens are and all that. No, they're down the way. All that facility out there in Nevada and into California is a big base of all kinds. Up to the north of Las Vegas is where we have 150 of our saucers parked. Now, Ed worked at the alien base. He was also the guy that was credited with landing the Apollo on the moon. He was the rocket scientist. And he's in NASA Cape Kennedy headquarters or whatever it is down there in Florida. And they're putting it down and they're watching and they sit down and all of them come up, start celebrating and lifting him up, shaking his hand and all this. And he's sitting there, no smiles. And Ed, what's the matter? He says, they didn't use my technology. They used alien technology, anti-gravity, Tesla. All goes back to it. It's what the saucers were with Adolf Hitler. It was the fallen angels making the contact first with Adolf Hitler. Then they did it with us in Roswell crash. That's how they got into our governments because, whoa, there's other people out there. Yeah, they're the aliens. They're the fallen angels. Now, in pyramids, there's pictures of saucers in pyramids in Egypt. Wow. What happened to that civilization? They disappeared. Atlantis probably disappeared down there in the Gulf. Now, there's so advanced. What happens is we run these periods in time, and God comes in and cleans it up. He's getting ready to clean this one up, and it all deals with cloning. But here's what Ed told me. He says, Stu, for my retirement, he said, the aliens that I worked with and stuff, that he didn't know they were the fallen angels at the time. He thought they were aliens. And he answered, by the way, to Meyer Rothschild, and Lawrence Rockefeller. He was the richest for his death in 2004. He was richer than Milman, and then Milman became the second richest after Rockefeller died, and then Milman died. But here was the point. He says, Stu, I made this loaf of bread size metal. They wanted me to fuse it with element 115, the mu metal that the Robotoids are made of, which he knew about. He was part of the experiments on it way back. And here's a guy that's credited. Ed Slate landed in Apollo on the moon, and he had to check, so he made sure that he was on the ship when they picked it up. He says, those son of a bitches, they lied to me. They lied to me and said they used my, you know, anyway. And he was credited for this, and he didn't like that. But Ed made a loaf of bread out of 115 mu metal that I explained, the Robotoids that went into Ferguson. He made 116, 117, a fusion process, into dipolium, which is 118, which is what our flying saucers are made out of. By the way, I'll explain that, because John Lear's father built them, 1952 to 1959, 150 of them for the United States government's arsenal. We have them. Ed told me he took those three metals, fused them some way together, forgot how he told me, and he says he made into a loaf of bread size. And he's instructed by those aliens to go meet another alien at a pyramid north of Mexico City. And he says it was about 5:30, and you know, the sun goes down about 9 o'clock. It was in the summer. And he says the place was empty. Nobody was around there, which was unusual. But he sees this one big tall guy, you know, standing 7'6" tall. He looks Nordic looking in features. And he walks up to him and he says, you must be so-and-so, some weird name. And Ed says, he turns around and says, you must be Ed Slade. Oh, yeah. And so they shake hands. He said, did you bring me what you made me? He says, yes, right here. And he had it in a leather bag. And he pulls it out, shows him. He says, now take it out there and set it 50 yards. So he takes it out, sets it 50 yards away. He says, is it far enough? Oh, yeah. He says, now come back here, Ed. I'll show you what you made me. So Ed comes back up. He says, now look out there. And he looks out there, and all of a sudden it turns into a flying saucer, folks. A flying saucer. And all of a sudden, he says, how'd you do that? And he turns it back to the loaf of bread. And he says, I thought it into it, Ed. Now, I want you to do it. Close your eyes. Start thinking it into a flying saucer. He says, I can't do that. He says, give it a try. Why he's sitting there trying to think it into a flying saucer, the alien, fallen angel, is reading his mind. He says, no, Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Think this way. Think this way. No, you're thinking the wrong way. Think this way. He says, okay, now, Ed, look what you just made. He opens up his eyes, the flying saucer. So the guy took him for a joyride out in outer space and back, let him see the Earth. These are the kind of people I have come to know. I was locked up with 2,000 Iran-Contra players in Springfield, Missouri, which Daddy Bush had intentionally stuck in there. Even generals, colonels, captains, you name it. Even people who were trying to bust them, such as it's on Edmonds, Sybil Edmonds' whistleblower. You're not a whistleblower that she'll put on the site unless you actually worked for the government, is the way she does it. But John Cole's name appears up there. He was FBI counterintelligence trying to bust Gunther Rusbacher, who was the first spook I spoke to about 3 weeks before they issued a warrant for my arrest, thanks to Steve Wilmson with the Denver Post, who had sent him to me after Ray Allen Rusbacher, that runs Rumor Mill News. She married him to set him up. She's a trap, a troll, tramp, etc. I've met her a whole bit in person. But she called a three-way out of the prison to Steve Wilson. It was to deal with Tower 64 Limited Partnership that Gunther's name appeared in ownership along with other people. and to get his attention. He wrote a book, by the way, called Silverado, 8 out of 10 of the stories I gave him while I was working John Rebchick with the Rocky Mountain News, who was doing a story to two stories each week. So was Steve Wilmson. But Steve put a lot of them in the book Silverado. Now, I know things. I met people. Gunther was shipping F-16 fighter jets, Apache helicopters, M-1 tanks out of St. Louis, Missouri, Granite City Steel. And Bush had to have him shut down because he got too hot. They were taking it down on rail cars. I mean, on a, transport down the Missouri River. And they were selling them, they were taking Liechtenstein, but they were going to supply the oil down there in Louisiana. Now, there's documents up on the front of my site, folks, that show F-16 fighter jets. Those documents aren't even around. They've been destroyed. They were ordered to be destroyed by a corrupt judge who's now dead. But the point is those documents I got from John Coe, counterintelligence of the FBI. So take a look, folks. There were people in there with me that nobody could believe. I mean, bizarre stuff. Now, Ed Slade, beyond him, John Lear's dad, Lear Jets, in 1952, gets the contract in secret after he sold Lear Jets and Jet Company, and took the contract to build the flying saucers. They are parked about 90 minutes northwest of Las Vegas, Nevada, in a hole. I saw a couple of them coming down, driving down into Las Vegas out of Colorado a couple of times. Certain time in the morning, they're dropping in there, and they glow, and they go down. I saw the aliens stacked up, landing at their base. If you go up the extraterrestrial highway where I spoke at that little alien restaurant, I forgot the owner's name. His wife died a while back. I think he's still alive. Anyway, with a BBC reporter, I drove up there, up the highway, following him, and all of a sudden we see all these saucers. And his girlfriend left their friggin' camera in the little hotel room they have. They have some trailers out there that are split and have one bedroom, one bath. She left it in there instead of putting it in the car. So he never captured the pictures. But we sat there and watched it for about 15 minutes and got the hell out of there. Now, that's where the alien base is. That's where Ed Slade worked. Then Otis, my good buddy, now dead, who was super spook, only 100 or 300 of them were ever trained that way. He used to go in Papoose Lake, Nevada. He used to go into Groom Lake. He used to go into Bluffdale, Utah, the NSA six floors below ground beyond computers, with an alien base on the south side. It runs to Richfield, Utah, down near I-70. There's a big concentration camp out there on I-70 and I-15 where they come together, and it's on the southeast corner, Otis had said, that they built with a 10-foot wired fence all the way around it, where they're going to stuff bodies as they open up FEMA. He said that's their intention. He said they're going to take them out there to feed them to the aliens. They got other chores for them to do, plus their blood. This is how psychopath we're into this. Now, other top secret things that I've come across that I'm discussing is called Daddy Bush hitting the towers on 911 with a laser. It came out of E-Systems out there in S4, it's called, the top secret military base. It's got all these other bases in it, S4. Now, Raytheon had a place. Even my father's company, that he was a VP, retired, top DOE inspectors, never told me a damn word, never will, of what he did. But Otis Johnson sat down in his living room one time to meet him, because I was just moved back from Vegas and was there, and he took me to lunch. He was coming up from Dallas. He sat there and talked about all these top secret stuff in front of my dad, and my dad was turning white as a ghost. Now, so my dad knows that I know things. He won't confirm anything, won't say anything. But Raytheon had a place out there at S4 testing their toys. That's where nuclear bombs get tested. That's where other things have been tested in the past. And you see it on TV with the old testing grounds. Here's the point. They hit the towers with the death ray, it's called. It's a bendable laser, folks, the death ray. And they hit the Twin Towers and melted them. That's the reason they went down. Now, they had explosions on that second tower, but the death ray hit the two Twin Towers. Because John Lear, who's the highest rated pilot in the world, has all these ratings of everything, flew those jets. He said they didn't hit the Twin Towers. The wings would have fallen off in the tail section. It didn't happen. Suppose he went through there and melted the building. Yeah, uh-huh. No, the death ray. Now, that was the West Star series of satellites, and they needed super energy to make that kind of a toy. It was their first big test. Out there is Lake Mead. It's where the Hoover Dam is. When they built the Hoover Dam, not for civilian purposes during, you know, Roosevelt or whoever it was. It was for the purpose of these generators producing this mass amount of electricity. Two of them go to the civilian side. I think they got 8 or 12 of them, whatever I've been told about them. But the rest, Otis said, goes over to the S4. So they needed those for that super energy. Now they have beyond that, beyond computers, and it's tied in with, if you can believe this, it's called the Innslaw software that Bill Hamilton was cheated $220 million out of by Daddy Bush and the U.S. Department of Justice. Bill Barr at the time, the Attorney General, cheated out of his money that this was supposed to be set up to track white-collar criminals such as Larry Mizellery or Leonard Melman. They rob an SNL down in Texas, and then it pops up on a radar scope. It's put in there that they were involved, but they don't have enough to prosecute them, and then someone finds them busting SNL out there in California. And the U.S. attorney says, hey, we got enough now to get them under RICO twice. Ooh, wow. That was what it was set up for. Instead, they stole it, used it for trap backdoor purposes in satellites against everybody in the world. Daddy Bush said, oh, you can have a piece of our software used for intelligence, so on and so forth. So he got all the countries in to buy it. He had a trap backdoor put in it with who? Michael Reconosciuto. What was he doing? He was running an operation, a spook operation. Under what? The disguise of the FBI, Los Angeles. Along with who was his boss? Ted Gunderson, who later put him in jail on a fake charge to shut him up about the back trap door in the satellites. Now, he spent 28 years. He was sentenced 24 for a meth lab he never had, but he spent 28 years. This is what they do to political prisoners in America. Now, that trap back door went into Innslaw. It turned out to be the Israelis steal it. And it turns out to be, it's called Promise Software. Then it becomes what's called the Intel chip, folks. Intel. Anything with computers or phones probably have an Intel chip in it. They can hear and see everything you're doing if you've got a camera on that computer or your cell phone. Now, that's the technology, and it's all hooked up with Bluffdale, Utah, the private contractor, U.S. government base with the alien base on the south side. So they can hear you, they know everything, and if you have a TV and it's plugged in, if anything's plugged in, they can see you or hear you. If you got a camera on it, they can see you, whether it's on or off. So if you got a TV in your bedroom and you're making love to your wife, as an example, they're sitting there listening to you and hearing you. They're seeing you, and you don't even have the TV on unless you unplugged it, and you better unplug the cable. I'm just giving you advice. Now, let's take one more step with Stu Webb going nuts today on technology. People drowned, and you can probably find it on the search engines, drowned in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. The lake's cold. They go swimming in there in the summertime. It's hot. Super cold lake. I have one question for everybody. Why is it people drowned in Lake Tahoe and 3 days later their bodies come up in Santa Monica, California? Floating. Blown up. Because of the underground tunnels. We have a military subbase that is way deep underneath Santa Monica Bay. That's the entrance to it. That's enough said. We All have.
Right, I'm gonna
okay.
Read.
Now, I want to add one more thing. Now, and I want you, I'm trying to make people understand the technology we're up against and something else. Donald Trump brought all of our fleets of ship about 2 years ago back to port. Had them all parked up there in Washington State, up near Seattle. Big military base, naval. He had them all brought back there except after Iran and all that, and he sent one over there in the Persian Gulf just to be demonstration. I mean, he brought all of our naval fleet home. Whoa, what was that replaced with? Well, around 2004, they developed a ship, a little boat. If you can find a picture of the USS Missouri, that's a perfect example of it, the latest edition on the internet. I can't find it. I saw it on TV once. But here's the point. It's an oval-shaped boat that goes 150 miles an hour across the water. It's got six diesel generators in it. It's unsinkable. It has self-detecting death rays that melted the towers down on 9-1-1. So if China, as an example, launched all their aircraft carriers against this one boat out there, all of a sudden it self-detects with the death ray lasers and it starts shooting everything shooting at it and totally melts it out. And it goes back to original source and destroys the airplane. Now, it could pull up within 6 miles of one of China's aircraft carriers, and the operator, it only takes 6 to 8 men and women to operate this thing, and it can sit there and be just totally death ray. It can pull up there 6 miles away and cut this aircraft carrier in half in 3 friggin' minutes. We have them floating all over the planet. President Putin, when he found out about it, he calls up and threatens the government. And he says, if you ever use those on us or our allies, he says, I'll set a bomb off, a nuke, in the Azov Fault, which is up in the northwest or northeast off the coast of New York, about 300 or 400 miles out. And he says, it will cause a tidal wave that will hit the United States East Coast. He says, a mile high. And he says it'll run to the Mississippi River. Don't ever use those death rays on us, President Putin says. Then about a year later, no, this is about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, they came up with a supersonic missile that can infiltrate the United States airspace if necessary. We're the ones with the death rays. Now, this is alien technology, folks. Did I give something away that was secret? No, I don't think so. I don't consider it. I didn't ever take a secrecy agreement. This is knowledge we are up against. Donald Trump has come to realize what he's setting up against. Our entire government was overthrown by these aliens and Daddy Bush going clear back to the 70s, even 60s. And it really was after World War II and the technology with the aliens, which is the fallen angels. Now we're up at the day of where they have cloned over 10 million people in Hope, Arkansas. Every time cloning went on, including Sodom and Gomorrah, and remember, she got turned to pillar of stone for looking back as the place rained with sulfur. What were they doing? They were cloning, according to the book of Enoch. With that said, you two gentlemen, pick it up from there.
Stu, thank you for the tour de force. And I think it's helpful for all of us to either get a review or learn for the first time how all of these technologies work and who's connected to the technologies. I'm going to bring up a concept I may or may not have shared on the show before. It's called the Delphi Method. The Delphi Method examples are Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the New World Order. They're going to make all of us that remain, the half a million, the 500 million, they're going to give us insects to eat and sewage water to drink. And supposedly, we all agreed on that because we've destroyed the environment, and so forth. And I only give that example because I want to move now to military strategy, tactics, and logistics. Supposing, in fact, that Donald Trump is not part of the deep state and is fighting the deep state, is fighting the Chinese. So now we have an element of the military that's gone rogue. It's gone rogue, and now it is challenging the military intelligence industrial complex, the Fourth Reich in America. Now, if in fact all of these people are being rounded up, if in fact that God is going to allow Donald Trump to expose how criminal Fourth Reich is, how America likely is Mr. Babylon, there is going to be a response from the deep state, the Fourth Reich. They are not going to go quietly into the night. So I've set up this argument now that if Trump is in fact legitimately taking on the Chinese and in fact taking on both the Democratic, the left wing, and the rhino in the Republican Party and going to expose them, then what will the response be from the deep state that we know has existed certainly since the Fourth Reich was formed in 1947, 1948. How does that play out, Joffrey, Stu, and then we're out of time, guys.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, how do you identify who you're fighting? Now, so supposedly, you know, Barry really never left D.C., and he supposedly has, I want to say they called it a skiff, but anyway, he has a hotline to his place for the intelligence committees that go right to where he's at. So now you have two factions, like has been mentioned, who is controlling what. And as observers, here we are trying to make sense of that. So you've got a certain part of the military that's going to take orders from Trump, and a certain part that's rogue that's already under DNC control and state control. So those places and those entities are knowing everything that's going on. Both sides are knowing what's going on. And who makes the first move? And has it been made already? If it's been made already, where are we at in it? How far along are we in it? And then that then triggers the domino of what point do you involve the UN, because you can declare or you can basically send out a distress signal, and then you get these guys, the blue hats, involved. So what are the triggering events that we really get heated up with this thing, and where does that leave us in the middle, and where do we stand with that?
Maybe I can bring a little bit of light into what we're saying here.
Joel.
When Stu interviewed Ed Slade, I was on the other end of the line, although I didn't get to put in my 2 cents. The one thing that Stu emphasized to Ed Slade was this. Now, Ed, do you, and he said it 4 times. Now, Ed, are these the fallen angel aliens? And unequivocally, Ed Slade said, yes. And this is why the Book of Enoch is so important, because it explains who the fallen angels are. And I highly recommend to get the Book of Enoch and read it, because it'll clear up a lot of things. And take into consideration that we were not people that evolved out of a swamp. It was always high technology, high technology. It is evolving, and misusing the forces that go to make up creation. That is the issue right there. Misusing the forces of creation. And that's what Ed Slade was trying to say. And Ed even said, when he talked to the alien said to him specifically, we created the Maya, we created the Azteca. And that took place at what is called the Valley of the Sun, the Valley of the Moon, where they would do, in 1 week's time, 1 week's time, 10,000 sacrifices. 10,000. Blood would go everywhere. Why? Because the fallen angel alien was feeding off of that blood. That was the meaning of what Ed Slade was trying to say to Stu. The fallen angel alien, because he cut himself off from God, in the blood is the life. And that's the only place they can get the life, because they've cut themselves off from God. And there is this ongoing battle. Mankind is a lot older than what we think, because before the time of Adam, not 6,000 years ago, but further back, there was the what we call the antediluvian world, the world of Atlantis, where there was high technology, in other words, death rays, the manipulation of the genetic to make half man, half animal. It's not anything new. It's a repeat of what mankind is abusing or using correctly in God's way, and that's the issue.
Joel, how do you think it plays out now with Trump supposedly attacking the entrenched military-industrial complex, where we have a war within maybe the Department of Defense and the CIA, and I don't think they're going to go quietly into the night. And we know that there's always a reaction. There's an opposing force. So what do you extrapolate or project based on what we know? I think we've got a real busy time between December 14th, which it would be Sunday or next Monday, and the 21st. And those are huge dates with the dark side. What do you foresee? What can you
it all depends. All right, what it is and what I'm monitoring and what I'm seeing is and hearing is it the Supreme Court is going to hear the case. That's a winner right there. Then the chances of overturning the fraudulent election, Trump will still be the president. Then I guarantee you there is going to be an upheaval among the deep state and maybe I want to say the good guys, and that's going to maybe break out into a civil war.
I don't think it'd be a civil war. It would be a revolution. The difference, instead of blacks and whites fighting, from what I'm hearing from the American people, they want to shoot all politicians at this point and leave Donald Trump the only one remaining. That's the attitude of the people on the streets, black and white both. I mean, I got a large black audience. I've seen a couple of them. I've had phone calls from people talking with them. They're mad. They're saying if he isn't in office on January 20th, there's going to be a bloodbath in Washington, D.C. in our states, and all the politicians are going to be executed, taken to trees, or shot. And that's the attitude of the people. That isn't me saying it. That's the attitude of the people right now. Trump supporters, and there's 80 million of them. There's 150 million people who are patriotic in America, in my opinion. If we had a true revolution, well, say only 25% showed up. What's that? 30 some odd million? That could only take a million. Go ahead, Joe.
I have a question for you guys. Paul? It's about the time that we have. And my question is, we're at 51 minutes. Do we want to widen this down with a last word and then do another show?
Okay, we've got, here's what we've got. The other show, and we can do another one. We've got still about 8 minutes. Everybody give their closing on this one. We got 45 minutes on the first one before we were interfered with, but I'll get them both up together here today.
All right, my first question is for Joel, then I'd like you guys to pick up on what I'm asking. All of us now are in a position where we have to take practical steps. I don't think that it's far out to suggest there's going to be suitcase nukes. I don't think it's all that far out to think the grid is going to go down. There's a lot of secrecy. There is a lot we don't know about.
There's a war going on that you guys may or may not be aware of. Joel may be. There is a war on the South Pole happening. And remember, the aliens occupy the hollow earth. Go ahead, Joel.
There's a big war. Yeah, there's a big war between the good guys and the bad guys, and you know who are the bad guys. And that's why the deep state people were all going down to the Antarctic, because that is where Schwabenland is, and that is where a huge hive is located. It's as big as the state of California.
And that's where Adolf Hitler, General Berg chased Adolf Hitler's ships into there, and he lost 2,000 men, came back with two ships, testified for Congress in secret, later quit the government, and he wrote a book called The Hollow Earth, and there's a sun inside here. And two Air Force jets flew in the North Pole, because I read the documents at Otis's house that he had, that they flew in there and they saw, they chased flying saucers, or ordered to go in the hole in the North Pole. Now, the KGB put out a video on YouTube at one time showing the North Pole that was 60 kilometers or whatever, about 80 miles or something wide. So it fits in with Operation Blue Book that was Air Force jets' top secret document. I read it. Go ahead, Joe or Paul.
So anyway, where this is going in, who knows? But the one thing I want to put a caution out there, whatever happens, do not take the vaccine. Do not take the vaccine, and that's going to be a very hard thing not to do.
I talked to an attorney, by the way, in person. We do not have to take the vaccination. And as he said, because he's aware, it's got the credit debit in it and the DNA changer that makes you a robot, like Joe has talked about in the past. Now, he said, if they come to your door to force you, he says, that's what your Second Amendment is for. He says, I'm going to shoot them, is what he told me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I said, I have a father in a nursing home. Can he be forced? He says, no. And if they try, he says, you get a hold of me. He says, we'll shut him down. I said, I'll be out there fucking with a gun. Go ahead.
Joffrey, you've been a great listener and you have keen insights. But can you make sense of what we're saying for the last word here?
Yeah, let's touch on, I guess, real quick on the technology of the injection. You know, I listened to Elon Musk talk about very deliberately him saying that the changer, the RNA changer, can do so many things. And he's painting the broad stroke of what a great thing it'll be. How about reversing age? Now, how's that going to appeal to people? What about, again, the 5 or 6 languages? If you can modify the RNA to program it to be anything you want it to be. If you want it to be a butterfly, you can technically program that person thinking they're a butterfly. He said it's very powerful and very useful, of which we scoff. But the ability with what's in it, again, we're not identifying a virus specifically or any pinpointing anything. We're simply going another direction to find an application to control the people. And that's the danger of the whole thing, is how awake is the public and how far will they go for creature comforts?
It's coming out, by the way, real quick, and we don't have to put a time frame on this because I didn't know Joe was still on here, and he's beyond me and beyond you both. Because I want to dig a little deeper into some of this China stuff that he's aware of and other stuff, but I'm hearing now, and I put a video up, this one in the breaking news column, And it's a guy talking who developed a software that one of his buddies recently has been killed. It was also involved. He worked for the government, etc. And he's showing how the overlays are, how they've done this COVID virus to make it all look like virus by computer-generated bullshit. He says right here, it shows that they changed it. He says the influenza flu is what people are dying of. Now, I noticed after they chemtrailed us to death for about 3 days over here during election time, before and after, I got this bad, deep cough, man, in the middle of the night. Get up, I'm still coughing. But to get in the middle of the night, choking to death almost. And I mean, it was bad. I'd stay up for an hour trying to breathe and keep coughing and blowing my nose to death and everything else. It was chemtrails. And now a disbarred attorney friend of mine over here, illegally disbarred, Brett Landreth, who sued Jeb Bush and got disbarred. Anyway, and a U.S. attorney was killed, two of them. One committed suicide when he was going to testify about the other one dying and so forth, his colleague, because of Novation LLC, racketeering by the Bushes against the hospital supply companies. Anyway, he called me up, you know, about a week ago or a week and a half ago and says, man, he says, Stu, I decided to start taking that calcium, magnesium, zinc, and vitamin D tablets you were saying. And he says, I have been weak without energy, he says, since the election, coughing in the middle of the night like a dog. He's telling me what I've been doing. He said, I started taking those tablets for 3 days, and he says, I'm getting energy back. So I decided I better get back on
them. Hold on to that.
Yes.
You back up 2 inches from your mic, 2 inches further away.
I need to go about 2 inches further away. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay.
You're distorted.
So, also, oregano P73 super strength that Joel turned me on to, which saved my father's life and brought his blood count after he got the rhinovirus from 22,000 to 12,000. And it was that far off. He was going to a KU Cancer Clinic blood specialist who found out when he was last tested before lockdown after giving him 6 weeks of oregano P73, thanks to Joe, his blood count was 12 and 12. And the doctor was freaked. He said, what have you been doing? He said, well, my son, you know, you've met him. He said, he's been giving me, forcing me to take this oregano 3 times a week when he's out here seeing me. He says, I'm going to issue you a prescription. They give it to him daily now. Now, there's cures for all kinds of stuff. But right now, the oregano P73 is super expensive. You can get it on oregano.com. It's about 40 bucks for a half ounce or whatever it is, an ounce. 2 drops a day. And doing the magnesium, potassium, zinc with vitamin D is what all these victims that are dying, they put out stats already. They don't talk about oregano, but they talk about the others. Magnesium, potassium, zinc, and vitamin D, they are lacking in their systems as they are dying. This is what the nurses have come up with. Alternative nurses.
I'm going to take a different track here for just a second.
Go ahead.
And talk about what the data seems to indicate. There aren't any more deaths in the last year than there were in the previous year. And if you substitute corona for heart disease, or heart disease for corona, you're getting almost exactly the same numbers. So people are dying of pneumonia-type illnesses, and now it's being called COVID instead of flu or pneumonia.
You're correct.
So what,
you're correct. Also, there's one other thing. We're being radiated because of this 5G and so forth, and the nurses are telling me, in order to save your thyroid, drink 1 glass of pure apple juice a day. 1 glass. It will help keep your thyroid, along with taking your magnesium, potassium, zinc, vitamin D, and oregano P73 until we get through this. Otherwise, you might be a victim of the radiation. Go ahead.
Guys, Joel, do you want to weigh in on what Stu has just presented, or send us another?
Okay, all right. What I tell people to do is, if you're looking for the general future of where this is headed, then you can get down to the specifics. Read Revelation 13, 17, and 19. And that would be what I call the real dispensationalism, in which this is going to go. Because because the fallen angel alien was defeated at Mount Golgotha. Don't forget that.
And that would be Jesus' resurrection?
First, he overcame death. He went into the undergrounds. And then he rose from the death. He overcame the sting of death. In other words, the fallen angel alien was defeated at Mount Golgotha. Think about that.
The power of Jesus Christ.
If you saw Mel Gibson's movie on the last 24 hours, the very last scene, you saw his blood drip down and it fell into infinity. That was the key. The key was the blood of Jesus Christ, which will rebalance creation as far as the earth is concerned. And that influences overall what happens with Washington, D.C. Now, having said that, I qualify that we're looking from one mountain peak to the other in which direction to go, but there's valley and peaks, valley and peaks, valley and peaks, and that's what we're still going to go through.
Power of prayer, Joe, you're quite aware of the power of prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Tell people what you do.
There's only like about three of us left. The others are, one is dead, one is in a mental institution, one is in a home. We all made an agreement to become prayer warriors. We went specifically after the underground bases, specifically. And so you can call upon that blood because all you got to do is go to Hebrews 9:13, and he tells you, what did Jesus do with his blood? Paul said he took it into the Holy of Holies and put it there for our insurance, and you can call upon that blood to come into your life and to do good things.
In the name of Jesus.
It's there, it's easy.
In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by your stripes. Go ahead, Joe.
We are healed. And that is, it's by the strokes that were put on him, by his shedding of the blood. That is the meaning of Mel Gibson's movie, when that drop of blood went into infinity. In the old Geneva Bible, they do not use the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. They use the word Holy Ghost, meaning it is the ghost of Jesus, who is God, and every little particle is Jesus's body, literally his body. Even the tiniest, is that's the meaning of Holy Ghost. And you call upon that, and it heals. Hebrews 9:13. Mel Gibson has done some wonderful things and given warning to the people. And if you really want to get an idea about what Ed Slade met down in the Valley of the Moon, Valley of the Sun, outside of Mexico City, which is a mile-long series of pyramids of where they sacrificed human beings. And they say, oh, it can't be done. Yes, because obsidian blades are sharper than any blade that we can make. And in one stroke, they could plunge the knife into the chest and pull the heart out. And that's what they did. They ate their way outward. That's what it means, because you are working for the fallen angel alien, because that fallen angel alien and his allies, if you want to call it, those allies have to have that blood because they've cut themselves off from God.
So it's all about
Jesus Christ.
Now, I want to inject something.
So the ultimate weapon is that blood. It's a gift, and you can call upon it.
And you can war against the enemy. And now you war against the enemy all the
time.
That
is exactly right, and that is what we call prayer warrior.
Now, you're doing it on satanic holidays, you do it on full moons. I mean, you hit them. You've even been at the old Navari.
That's right.
Right downtown Denver, where the ley lines are, at the power grids, where they do it on the winter and summer solstice across from the Brown Palace Hotel. At midnight, they're in there.
A person that was on,
go ahead. Now, I've done some prayer warring myself, and I've been hit back. And, you know, I tried to protect myself, and spiritual warfare is not for the faint of heart.
No, it is not.
And it is not. I think it would be helpful for all of us to hear, how do you protect yourself? You get into that spiritual warfare, you get into that realm, you're going to have warps in your room. You're going to have all sorts of stuff going on if you don't know how. Warring against principalities, warring against those forces, requires a lot. And so I think it would be helpful for all of us if you would just kind of outline, what do you do beyond the warring?
Hold the thought just for a moment.
All right.
I just want to inject something real quick. You mentioned Mel Gibson. He's a good guy. His father helped finance through Jimmy Rothstein, Rusty Nelson, who was arrested in Nebraska, where Ted Gunderson had set him up because they were after the rest of the pictures he had of where he was the photographer working out of Franklin Savings, which that's the black man who, I think he was black, that introduced Daddy Bush as the future president of the United States in the 2008 election. Now, the Franklin cover-up book of Lincoln, Nebraska, the attorney, I've sat with him, I forgot his name, him and Gunderson, John DeCamp, him and Gunderson were the spin doctors, because Otis Johnson sat down with John DeCamp in my behalf and showed him all the pictures they had of the guy that owns Nebraska Furniture Mart, who's, what's his name?
Warren Buffett.
Yeah, Warren Buffett. He had all the pictures of him and little kids and the whole bit, and he wanted him to publicize it in his next book, and he didn't do it. He was testing John DeCamp. Found out he was a cover-up. Now, Warren Buffett is tied to Bill Gates. Oh, I'm donating my entire fortune over here, he said a while back, my estate to Bill Gates Foundation. Bill Gates is a psychopath that wants everybody vaccinated. Just thought I'd tie a few of those things together. But because of Mel Gibson's father, he bailed, brought an attorney forward out of his trust, and paid for Rusty Nelson's innocence to prove he was innocent. And I thank Mel Gibson for that. Anyway, pick it up, Joe. What is the game against in prayer warriors to keep from getting beat up?
You will still get beat up. You just have to learn how to be strong enough, because don't forget, this is what the prophets, not anything new. It's the same thing over and over again. Hundreds of thousands of years. Mankind is not 6,000 years old. He's older than that. But the key was what happened at Mount Golgotha, where God himself projected himself into the material world and struck a tent of flesh and walked the earth. That's an important concept. The way that you do it is, I do this in the name of Jesus. I let the blood do what it needs to do. In other words, it takes your ego out of there. When you say those words, let the blood do what it needs to do, I only stand in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood then decides, not you. That's the trick. We bind and impede and block and smash and bash and take down to the fires. The participants in this sacrifice at the old Navari. But let the blood do what it needs to do. I only stand as the witness.
God's will be done.
In other words, you got to take your ego out of there. The blood knows. What is the blood? The blood is in itself Jesus Christ in its entire body. It's not just this red stuff flowing around. In the blood is the life. Life is human being, a body. And the mistake that we make is that we think that we are created first as a physical body. No, we are created as a spiritual body. And that's throughout the Bible. So all you got to do is just remember, we do this in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand as the witness. Let the blood do what it needs to do. It takes your ego out of it. Won't Jesus know better than you what to do? He's only asking for really a facilitator. That's all I am. I'm just a facilitator. That's it. And so are the other prayer warriors. We're just facilitators. We stand as the witness. Let the blood do what it needs to do. Because my words are inadequate. Only Jesus' words are adequate, not mine. And the key is diminishing your ego in that prayer. You want to have a small ego, not a big one. None of those prophets that went up against Baal ever went in there with a large ego. None of them. They were all very humble men. They did not relish in their victory, because everything in creation is created by God. Everything, even the fallen angels, have within them the God thing, but it's covered up. And it's being tortured in this evilness. And if you want to get a glimpse, because I've been to the abyss 14 times, and I thought the abyss was the end of all. It is not. What's even worse are the fires, huge fires that go thousands and thousands of feet high, and you burn. And God and the angels weep over that. They don't like it. They weep over it because the soul has diminished itself to the lowest common denominator. There's no happiness and relishness. Aha, we wiped out the old witch herself. None of that. They're not proud of it. Because in every creation is God. There's nothing without God. And that God thing is being misused by that person. And there's great suffering. So that's why I say at the end of your prayer, just simply say, I do this in the name of Jesus. Let the blood do what it needs to do. And the blood decides.
Now in Psalms 92, if we ask for angels of protection, he says they give them to us.
And you can call for the blood for the protection. Remember, angel simply means messenger. Messenger. And if you want to get a feel, it's not exactly like that. If you want to get a feel for it, look at the paintings of the nine hells of Dante. And what is even, they have great warriors that are warriors for the Lord that penetrate to the deepest levels to save souls. There is the reality. There is not just the physical realities. There's dimensions. There's universes. It's mammoth. It's never ending. And so we have the realms of the fallen angel aliens, and that is why what Stu Webb asked of Ed Slade, it was not just a little, come on, Ed, are you sure about yourself? Stu was trying to say, you are verifying, and this is the icing on the cake, who is the ultimate source of conspiracy? Who is? Who is the ultimate conspirator? The fallen angel alien. And in the Book of Enoch, it tells that story.
Now, there's about three different volumes, or different writers, should we say, or books of Enoch out there. Joel, which is the one? But one of them is really specific, and we've talked about this because it was the one that we read in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I can't remember. Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
There you go.
She had her own cult, but the book is excellent. The book is excellent because it has Enoch 1 and 2 in it. And it tells you and does a good job, and I'm not promoting Elizabeth Clare Prophet, but in my experience, I had four or five different translators of the Book of Enoch. And a little bit of the history of the Book of Enoch. It was first found by an Englishman in what we call the Ethiopic Church. That's where they say the Ark is located. But Ethiopia is one of the places that had an original copy of the Book of Enoch that went back to the first century. And so it was never part of the Bible, but we now know that at the first century it was one of the most popular books. Now remember, they didn't have books like we have, they had scrolls. And everything had to be done by hand, and books were very expensive, and you had to do great memorization to remember. So the story of the Book of Enoch is the story of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And it is a story that never ends.
I forgot where
never ending story.
Where it's at in the Bible, it's talking about the Book of Enoch. It references it, and the Book of
Jude. It's the Book of Jude.
The Book of Jude, it references it. And it references Jasper, I think it is. The Book of Jasper also, that are missing books of the New Testament, or the New and Old Testament, what's available out here. Go ahead.
Well, I want to try and wind this thing up, because I think we got a lot of directions that we've gone today, and I don't want the listener or myself to have whiplash. So, Joel, if I could take you to Revelation 17, mm-hmm. can you give me, the listener, your take on where
somebody's making noise in the background,
and where what do we do here as occupiers and resistors? And we'll close on that, and then I think we've got a bunch more hours to go, but just today, can you
someone's chopping
Revelation
on something.
17, where are we at?
All right, it's very simple. It's not complicated. People want an exact definition. Don't let that enter your head. Just let the words work on you. Let the words speak to you. Let it speak to you down, because every one of the letters, and I was shown this, and I went through the experience myself. Every letter in the old Hebrew, not the modern Hebrew, the old Hebrew had a vibration to it. I was shown that. And each letter was truth. And if you will just let yourself, don't look for a definition, but just let it read to you as you're reading a novel. Just read it, and it will speak to you. That's the best way to do it. And you will find where you are at. You are your best teacher. You are your best spokesman. And let it speak to you, and you will understand.
You know, before I read the Bible, I'll pray and ask God to reveal to me what is true and what He wants me to see. And from time to time, in the past, I'll just pick the Bible and say, ask God, and I'll open it up, and I'll start reading. And here we go, another page, and I got my answer. Go ahead, Joe.
Joffrey?
Yes, I'm here. Great, great words. And, you know, we always heard that song, there's power in the blood, and I think that's pretty amazing blood. And hearing just the fact that, you know, I think it might have been John who said, I must decrease that he might increase. Boy, isn't that just it? And what Joel's saying is being, you know, who are we really? Are we vessels that can call upon the power of the universe? Yes, we can. But boy, to get the point that it isn't us, we're doing it on behalf or we're doing it through, it isn't us. I mean, it's a privilege to be able to call upon the King of creation, but to remember, don't stand there with that chest puffed out. It just isn't, that isn't going to get it done. Turn it over to the Lord of Lords, and the blood of Christ is the pinnacle.
Stu, I'm double parked now. It's your show.
Hey, who wants to end it in prayer? Let's end it in prayer, and let's continue this with the four of us and bring Heidi on as well at a future date and time.
Joffrey, I'm asking you to close this out in prayer.
Okay, you bet. Heavenly Father, we have seen great and mighty things that have been done by you, and we are witness to it. There's a great battle that we're in the middle of, and we're fighting against powers and principalities of this life and this air. And we are claiming your blood, as Joel has mentioned, the blood of Christ, which has so much power that it just cripples the enemy. We are turning to you, we're calling upon you, and we're reflecting upon you through your holiness, that you will seek and help your people to finish well. We don't know what's ahead, but I pray that we finish well. We do not want to fall for deception. You say in Matthew that we are in the spirit and the age of, first of all, be forewarned, the spirit and age of deception. So let us not be fooled or tricked. Let us be laser focused upon what we need to do and how we need to respond to you and your word and your people. Let us lift up not only ourselves, but those listening, that they might be inspired by your words, because your words are life and they're truth. They breathe life into all who hear. God, the truth is in your word. Brings joy to the listener. And you say in Revelation, happy and blessed is he who reads these words in the book of Revelation. And we should be happy, and we are happy. God, give us everything that we can empower ourselves with through you to accomplish your work in this life and be strong finishers. Amen.
Amen.
And I would ask God in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and by your stripes, Father, I ask for you to pour that blood on Washington, D.C. I ask for you to pour your blood, Father, on every capital, every state of this union. I ask for a cleansing of the Justice Department by pouring blood over it and every federal building of every U.S. attorney, FBI agent, every psychopath within the CIA. I ask for you, Father, to bring your warring angels against them, Father, and bring them to justice once and for all, and set this country straight. I ask in your holy name, by your blood, by your stripes, Father, you, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
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 Joel, I thank you very much, Professor Joel. I thank Professor Paul, and I thank you, Jeff. And with that said, have a good day, folks.
Amen.